During the workshop in Matera, which was related to the regeneration of hypogeal spaces, I found myself reflecting, ahead of the topic of the workshop, on the theme of the event in itself, culture. When we talk about culture, Matera, social retraining, urban intervention, etc., the first name that springs to mind is Adriano Olivetti. This visionary and enlightened figure in the 50s started a project of urban intervention on a local and territorial scale, assembling a team of architects, sociologists, artists, and intellectuals in order to regenerate and build local communities. Beside the result of these projects, what I find very interesting in his vision is the process, which was focused on a dynamic model based on the interdependence of professional figures devoted to a unique purpose, the evolution of a single individuality through the development of the community. What I find very valuable is the care that Olivetti placed in every aspect of the entire process, and this approach, it resonates to me in a phrase of Ananda Kumaraswamy. A learned man should not be considered as such unless he places knowledge in everything he does. All the knowledge we acquired, to be perceived as real and necessary, should have a side effects on all the things we do, influencing all aspects of our actions. And any cultural activity, before being targeted on the goal, should be focused on the quality of all the operation involved in achieving the goal. In this sense, Olivetti's example was a source of inspiration. The main lesson of his work, in my opinion, was in the organicity of the process. As it happens in a body, where the proper function of each organ contributes in alliance with the others to the harmonicity of the entire figure. And regarding this reflection, it comes to my mind a documentary about a movie that Jodorowsky wanted to make, based on Dune, a book of Frank Herbert. Jodorowsky's idea was very ambitious, creating the greatest psychedelic space opera of all time. In 1974, the director put together a team of people that he called spiritual warriors, in which were involved well-known figures like Salvador Dalí, Mick Jagger, Steve O'Bannon, Hans Rudi Giger, Pink Floyd, and many others. Because of a series of events and misfortunes, the movie was never made. But the extensive storyboard designed by Moebius has been turning around in the major film studios as a kind of legend. The number of visions within the storyboard was so rich that, over the years, several directors took bits and pieces from the original script to create many other movies that have changed the history of science fiction cinema, like Alien, Star Wars, Terminator, and Blade Runner. Whilst the dismembered storyboard has sprouted many great visions, at the same time, we lost the big drawing that wove together all the picture of the movie. Thereby missing the drawing, we lost even the original intention and meaning. Like Native Americans, when we were visited by musicians that wanted to record their songs, they could not conceive their enthusiasm about their sounds and songs without understanding the meaning of the words. The natives could not imagine the function of a sound, emptied and isolated from its ritual meanings. If we apply this process of fragmentation to our cultural activities, we can get the risk of isolating the complexity of our cultural experience in hermetic and self-referential cultural events that more and more are losing their adherence to our outer and inner realities. In the separation of quantitative and qualitative components, we risk to sterilize cultural experience in enclosed structures, with the consequence to neutralize its nourishment, thus becoming cultural entertainment, a sophisticated indifference, like Pavel Florianski said. One of the main characteristics of our cultural industry, as every industry, is its efficiency to produce models and formats that can be reproduced infinitely. A cyclopic production of projects and events mostly separated one from the other, without a vision that holds them together. Whilst is it true that this proliferating vision gives the advantage to create new synergies and many points of view, At the same time, it's saturating a psychic environment that is already struggling to process all the stimuli to which it's subjected. The abundance of pictures, sounds, texts, signs, and significances operates on us despite our understanding. All these symbols shape our imagination beyond the fact that we understand them consciously or not. For this reason, producing images in this moment is an operation of enormous responsibility, however harmless it may seem. And to protect ourselves from this bulimic attack, I think we should start from the element that, perhaps, is the most mistreated in the organization of the space of our society. The silence. I often find myself visiting churches. I just enter and sit, sometimes for 5 or 10 minutes, between one thing and another. And I don't go there for religious, spiritual, or cultural interests. I visit churches mainly because I've noticed that it's the only place in the city where silence is organized in a specific way. If we make the effort to strip churches from all the liturgical components that weigh on our imagination, what remains is a place with generous spaces, clean, with high and bearable ceilings and a kind twilight. An open and free place where to have the possibility to stay inactive without offering any justification. In this sense, I find the silence within quite unique, because it's not the silence of libraries imposed by a functional rule to study, nor the one in public parks full of natural distractions, not even the silence of the sophisticated conceptualization of Duchamp or Cage, or the silence in the Oriental temples within Western cities, where to have an access, you need to pass through memberships, registration fees, and weekly schedules. The silence in churches, if we see it as an urban city space, looks like the only space remaining anonymous and out of charge. The space for silence, it seems to be the place which is perhaps the least considered in urban planning, a dimension that is constrained and oppressed more and more in our daily life. It seems that the weapons of our culture are targeted to reduce all silence dimensions that are no longer functional for the production. Most of us, when we find in a condition of inactivity, without elements to fill that void, we are feeling uncomfortable. And this happens, I think, because we have never been educated to organize our silences, because of lack of culture, possibility, and place. In my opinion, now more than ever, we should consider silence not as a secondary component of our activities or as a concept to intellectualize or represent, but as a capital value that should precede each of our actions, a staple necessity such as water, food, and air. Starting from this necessity, I believe that in order to think about urban regeneration, we should consider this aspect as well. Reintroduce in our daily spaces areas dedicated to silence, important such as roads, benches, fountains, and public transports. Places exempted from projects and events, where there are no actions to accomplish or knowledge to acquire, created not to forget what we know, but to remember what we have forgotten.